I'm going out now, too.
So we'll say we're on Daf Kuvav Hamad Aleph, and we're up to Amri B'nei Rabbi Chiya, which if you're counting up from the bottom of the Amud is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara records a conversation here amongst the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. Keep in mind that Rabbi Chiya was a Tana. So this is the equivalent of a Braisa. We've discussed in the past the issue of someone who forgot to recite Kiddush on Friday night. And we give him an opportunity of Tashlumin to make up for that by reciting Kiddush during the day. What happens if a person does not recite Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos? Is there Tashlumin for Havdalah? The Gemara thinks that there might be a fundamental distinction between Kiddush and Havdalah. Kiddush is really related to the sanctity of the Shabbos, and the sanctity of the Shabbos begins on Friday night but continues and encompasses all of Shabbos. So it makes sense that during the day of Shabbos you can have Tashlumin to replace the Kiddush that you omitted on Friday night. But in the case of Havdalah, Havdalah is a bracha that's related to the termination of Shabbos. And Shabbos terminates on the night after Shabbos. The next day has nothing to do with the termination. In other words, the Gemara is vacillating about the following question. Do we say that Havdalah relates to the transition between Shabbos and Chol? And that transition begins on Motzi Shabbos, but it continues even beyond Motzi Shabbos. So do we say no, that Havdalah is related to that time period that removes Kedusha Shabbos and enters into Chol, and that's only on Motzi Shabbos? So B'nai Rabbi Chiya are recorded as saying the following: Mavdil v'holeich b'chol Shabbos. Now, I left out the word kulo here, and I deliberately did so because the word kulo here is very problematic. It's very, shall we say, misleading. But let's read the Gemara without the word kulo. And it says, Mavdil v'holeich b'chol ha-Shabbos. What that means is that there is a period of time after Shabbos which is called the week of the previous Shabbos. Shabbos spills over into the week precedes. No, what's the opposite of precedes? That succeeds it, I guess you could say, right? The week of Motzi Shabbos, which is the beginning of the new week, which is the week that succeeds Shabbos, continues for a certain period of time. We don't know yet what that period of time is. The Gemara is going to analyze that based on a sugya in Gittin. But it's a limited period of time. If you add the word kulo, you get the misimpression that the entire week is considered the week after Shabbos. So again, what the Gemara is establishing in the name of Rabbi Chiya is that yes, you can recite Havdalah after Motzi Shabbos. How long after Motzi Shabbos? It says the Shabbos that succeeds, meaning the week, the word Shabbos here means the week, the Shavua, that succeeds Shabbos. If we add the word kulo, we get the impression that the entire week after Shabbos is considered the entire period of time for Havdalah after Shabbos, which would mean that theoretically you could recite Shabbos, you could recite Havdalah on Friday for the previous Shabbos. So the Gemara says, V'ad kam, which means that it's impossible. It makes no sense to say that the entire week is considered connected to or tagged on after the Shabbos that preceded it. There's got to be part of the week that's considered Shavua of the previous week, meaning that the previous week and the Shabbos that ended the previous week continues and spills over into the new week. But there's got to be a point beyond which it's no longer the Shavua after Shabbos. It's already the beginning of the new week, and this period of time is the period of time that precedes the following Shabbos. Rav Zera says, we'll soon see that this is based on a Sugin Gittin, Ad Revi B'Shabbos, up until Wednesday. Now, Rabbo said, whenever you see the word Ad, you always have to... Excellent. You have to vacillate. Here, in this case, it means Ad V'lo Ad B'Chlal. Up to, but not including Yom Revi. So when will be the latest time for signing Avdolah if you missed it on Motzei Shabbos?
Tuesday,
correct. Yom Shlishi.
Paskin Lalocha, right?
And that's Paskin Lalocha, yes. And all this is based on a Sugin Gittin. Now what's the Sugin Gittin all about? If a man says to a woman that this get is conditional on the fact that you deliver a gift of a certain sum of money, let's call it Masayim Zuz, and that gift has to be given after Shabbos, how long of a time period does she have to fulfill this condition of Li'achar Shabbos? How many days after Shabbos is considered Li'achar HaShabbos? It's tagged on to the Shabbos that preceded it. So the Gemara establishes ki ha di Yosef Rav Zera kami de Rav Asi. Others say it was Rav Asi who was sitting at the feet of Rav Yochanan, because Rav Asi was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan. He was the outstanding Talmud of Rav Yochanan. And others say it was Rav Zera who was the Talmud of Rav Asi. Vi Yosef v'ka'amar, and he made the following statement. Le'inyin gittin, in the case of a get, the Rashbam explains that a man said to a woman, "Hareze gitech almanas," which is always a lashon of Tanai, "shetitni li masayim zuz achar Shabbos." So the halacha is that if she delivers this gift of masayim zuz on Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, that's considered a fulfillment of the condition and that validates the get. Chada b'Shabbos, that's number one, that's Sunday. Trey is Monday. Tlosa is Tuesday. But Basar Shabsa, if he said to her that this is your get, if you give it to me Basar Shabsa, after Shabbos, so we give her that period of time up until Yom Shlishi, until Tuesday, and then she fulfilled the Tanai. But let's say he says to her, "Hareze gitech almanas shetitni li masayim zuz kodem haShabbos." Before Shabbos, you have to deliver the 200 zuz. So then we start counting from Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is considered before Shabbos. Arba is Wednesday. Chamisha is Thursday. Umayla yoma, which means erev Shabbos, which is Friday, is Kami Shabsa. Those are all considered before Shabbos. So again, let's review. If he says deliver it after Shabbos, then we give her up till Tuesday. If he says deliver it before Shabbos, then we give her from Wednesday until Friday. And all this is brought down by the Gemara here, we're not learning Gittin now, as an analogy to Avdolah. Then in the case of Avdolah, if we are still attached to the previous Shabbos, where he omitted Motzi Shabbos Avdolah, which means Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, those are all an attachment, an extension of Shabbos into the new week, but they still belong to the old week, he can recite Avdolah. And therefore, when Rabbi Chia made the statement, now the Gemara is trying to explain or justify the word kulo. You remember I told you before that the word kulo is very misleading. What does it mean, Shabbos kulo? But the word Shabbos kulo means the extension of Shabbos, the Shavua of Shabbos. When is the Shavua of Shabbos terminate? And the answer is the Shavuot of Shabbos goes up until Wednesday, but not including Wednesday. So when it says Kulo, it means that entire period of time, which is considered the Shabbos following, which means Shavuot following Shabbos.
Reverse on, where does Chazal get the idea that it works that way? In other words, the Torah says, Yamin Tavod, in other words, it's a 6-day week, and then Shabbos. In other words, this is a different paradigm. This puts Shabbos in the center, and then you have days preceding and days that follow.
Well, yes and no, Rabbi. And I would say the following: that there's no question that Shabbos is the last day of the week. That we're not debating.
The Torah tells us it's the last day of the week.
Right.
So my question is: where does Chazal get the idea?
But Chazal want to establish that there's a period of time after Shabbos which still connects to Shabbos.
That's what I'm asking.
And why did Chazal establish that?
Where do they know that? How do they know that?
I don't know that they know it from anywhere. I think what they're doing is they're being mechadish it. They're really creating it. And the reason they're creating it is because we have in Gittin this paradigm where a person says, deliver something after Shabbos. Okay, Havdalah is after Shabbos. Or a person says to a woman, deliver it before Shabbos. So there's a period of time before Shabbos. And what the Gemara sees now is that in that context, when you're talking about either after Shabbos or before Shabbos, Shabbos becomes the center point.
Right, and it's going to take even a step forward where we're going to say Havdalah still works. In other words, there's like almost some Shabbos going on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm saying that even takes it a step further.
Notice what we're saying is that you can still thank Hashem and praise
no,
Him
I'm saying, but it's,
for the transition to a period of time that still is related to Shabbos.
To me, it was to say that you have to deliver something after Shabbos. Well, how long is that? That's one thing. Now we're like moving into
a very different thing.
Now we're moving
into holiness.
Now we're moving into ritual. Now we're moving into holiness, and we're saying that somehow these days still have, to use Hasidic, a spark in some sense of Shabbos in it.
Again,
still say,
I don't think that that's what's being said over here. I think what's being said here is that we had a Havmin to say that the mitzvah of Havdalah was established on the exact point of time, which is an Ona. All of Zman is divided up into Onos. Mm-hmm. Right? An Ona Ayin Vav Nun Hei is a period of time made up of 12 hours. Like, for example, if you learn Hilchus Nida, you'll always talk about an Ona. Ona Smucha Levest, Ona Liachar Avest, Ona Savest, and so forth and so on. An Ona is a period of time. In Tashlumin for Tefillah, for example, is Halach of Ona. What does that mean? That up until a certain point, I can consider that this Tefillah related to the previous time period. So, for example, if I didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei Mincha, then I consider the night afterwards to be the Ona Hasmucha, and therefore, when I recite a special additional tefillah, which is called Tashlumin, it relates to that period of time of Mincha. Mm-hmm. Here, what we're seeing is that since we're talking about a week, again, in the Havamina, we were talking about an Ona. An Ona, which means that I have to focus my thanks to Hashem on the transition. In Hebrew, we call it Ma'avar. On the Ma'avar between Shabbos and Chol. Then it's totally in that Ona. But now the Gemara's Mechadish, no, there's something called Tashlumin for Avdolah. And what's the big Chiddush of Tashlumin for Avdolah? Why is that a radical understanding? The answer is that the mitzvah of Havdalah was not established on the transition period, but rather on any period that's related to the Shabbos.
But that's not Tashlum. Are you using? I don't think of this.
It has to be Tashlum. I'll tell you why.
Where's the right time and where's the Tashlum?
Ah, that's exactly it. So the original Havamina was that Beta, both of them, Beta Tzazaman, as we say in Yiddish, right? Both the transition and the period of the Ona of that transition, that is the mitzvah of Havdalah. And therefore there's no Tashlumin. The Havamina was in Havdalah, there's no Tashlumin. We can only recite thanks to Hashem for the transition, what I called before the Ma'avar. Now the Gemara is Mechadish that there were two dinim. There's one din of thanking Hashem for the transition, and there's another din of tashlumin, which allows me, during a period of time that's connected to the original owner, to thank Hashem for the separation between Kodesh and Chol. That din of tashlumin is a secondary din. It's a fallback position. It's not what we call, you know, there used to be an advertisement, I don't know if it's still, maybe I'm dating myself, for Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. Do you remember that?
Of course.
Yeah. The Israelis call it Yesh Tam L'Chayim. So the real thing, meaning the Iker Kiyum of Havdalah, is on the transition. That only gives you one owner, the Motzei Shabbos owner. Because that's when the transition took place.
When does that Zman end?
That Zman ends with Alos HaShachar the next morning, on Sunday morning. Now it being Mechadesh that there's a din of Tashlumin. Obviously the din of Tashlumin is not the real thing. It allows you to thank Hashem for giving you this separation between Kodesh and Chol during any period of time which is related to Shabbos. So the Gemara asks the following question, well, where do you draw the line? At what point do you say, well, this is related to Shabbos? The Gemara stretches its arm out to Gittin, and just like in Gittin, the halacha determines that Achar HaShabbos continues during the first half of the next week. And here you could say Chassidus Torah, maybe. No, and I'm not joking. You know, that might be relevant here to say that the Shabbos in some sense has an impact on the beginning of the next week until finally you're in a pre-Shabbos mode anticipating the next Shabbos. And that gives you up to Tuesday. The Gemara says, once we have that precedent in Gittin, and now we're looking in Shabbos, at what point can I still say that I'm relating my Havdalah to the previous Shabbos? What's considered Achar Shabbos, at least as far as Tashlumin is concerned? And the answer is up until
so
Tuesday.
If you're saying we have two dinim here, are you doing exactly the same thing if you're saying Havdalah Motzei Shabbat or Monday? Are you doing exactly
well,
the same thing?
That's a good question.
That's what I'm saying, no. It's two different
dinim.
If you do it Motzei Shabbat, that's called the Iker Mitzvah of Havdalah. If you do it on Monday or Tuesday, that's called Tashlumin. And by the way, the same thing applies to Tefillah.
That's B'di'evet.
Yeah, in Tefillah there are two mitzvahs in Tefillah. There's one mitzvah which is called Mincha as a concept, and there's another mitzvah of called Tefillah Bizmana. Tefillah Bizmana means that moment of time which is called Mincha that stretches from, let's say, Chatzos Hayom or Chatzos Hayom plus a half an hour. I mean, you have to know the sugya in a previous parak, in the sixth parak of Pesachim. And that stretches until Shkia. So that's Tefillah Bizman. Now we have a Tashlumin. A Tashlumin means that I have a right to call something Mincha as long as it's related to that time period of Mincha. But it's a Tashlumin. In fact, certain dinim will change. A Tefillah Tashlumin becomes secondary to a Tefillah Chova. And if you mess that up and you decide that your first tefillah is not going to be Ma'ariv that night, but it's going to be Tashlum for Mincha, and then you aren't Yotzi your Chiyuv Tashlumin. Might be other nafkaminas gabi Yalav Yovo, whether you recite Yalav Yovo, you don't recite Yalav Yovo.
Is this how we paskin? In other words, is.
I know, we can look it up in Shulchan Aruch. I didn't.
I know we paskin that you can do till Tuesday, but do we paskin the sense that it's a Tashlumin? In other words, is it.
I think so.
Okay.
That's the impression I get. I'll give you another nafkamina. Between Havdalah Bizmana and Havdalah B'Toras Tashlumin. Havdalah Bizmana requires three brachos.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct?
Right.
That means Bori Pri Agofen, or we'll soon see Shakal Nir B'Dvaro is another possibility in the case of Chamra de Medina. Then we have Bisamim. Actually, four brachos. I made a mistake. Right? We have
the three and then.
Bor Priya Gofen, we have Besomim, we have Bor Meore Eish,
and
Amavdu Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So this is fascinating because we might be able to split those four brachas into two categories. One category would mean thanking Hashem for that period of time, which we called the owner of Motzi Shabbos, that 12-hour period from the end of Shabbos until Alos HaShachar Sunday morning. And the other elements are not related to the owner per se, but simply to recognize and appreciate the fact that there's a separation between Kodesh and Chol, which was the broader definition that we had.
For which you're going to have Tashlumin till
Tuesday. So take a look at the next line in the Gemara. This was just an introduction. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi Avalo al Ha'or. Now we're going to learn this sugi according to the Rashbam. Okay, because the Kolbo, who lived about 700 years ago, he quotes the Sefer HaMichtam, who was a middle Rishon, meaning from like 1,000 years ago, that disagrees with Rashbam. But the way we have the Girsa and Gemara, the Rashbam is correct. The Rashbam says that as far as the brach of Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh, Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh relates to that Ona called Motzi Shabbos, because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Esh to Adam HaRishon. And that's when we appreciate the fact that during Shabbos we cannot create a fire, but on Motzi Shabbos we can create the fire. Now all this assumes that there is such a thing as a Kiyum Havdolah without Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh. Why? Because we're going to say the following. When he recites Havdolah Motzi Shabbos and that Ona, he's going to add Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh. And it's not just going to be HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. But if he waited, he delayed until Sunday, come Sunday morning, he's going to recite Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, but not Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh. Why is that Havdolah? And the answer is that there are two parts to Havdolah. There's the indispensable part of Havdolah, which defines its essence, Mahuta Shel Havdolah, and that's HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. And then there's the embellishment of Havdolah, which is called Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh. In fact, you may recall that we had a Machlokas Beisil Beishamay, which comes first, Bezavim or Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh? And the argument of Beishamay that Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh should come first was because that's a separate Birchas Hanenim. In other words, I give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach V'Odoya for the fact that now I can create a fire. And that has to come first. That's urgent. That's pressing. For some, okay, you want to give, you know, some sort of consolation to the absence of the Neshama Yisera. That can come later. There's nothing urgent about that. But what we see clearly is that there are two kiyumim of Shevach. There's a kiyum Shevach for the separation between Kodesh and Chol, and that we said spreads out all the way till Tuesday. And then there's a Kiyum Shevach to thank HaKadosh Baruch for the ability to create fire, whereas until now I could not create fire because Shabbos enjoins me from creating fire. Now I can create fire. Adam HaRishon HaMotzi Shabbos, you know, he took two stones, Chazal said he made a fire. That Kiyum Shevach has no Tashlumin to it. That's the sheet of whom? The Rashbam.
And that
because that's the girsa that he has in Avim Gemara.
And the Besamim you do later as well. Only Eish you
say. Besamim is fine. You know, that's on the Neshama Yisera, and that you could add later on. Comes along the Kolbo, and he says in the name of the Sefer HaMichtam that this is not so. That just like there's Tashlumin for Baruch HaMavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol, so too there's Tashlumin for Ner, which means for Bori Ma'ori Ha'ish. In other words, he understands that Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh is not a separate, independent kiyum of Shevach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me the opportunity to create a fire, but it's an integral part of Havdol. And this is what I call, again, this is my own language here, the merger theory. Have you ever heard of the merger theory? I assume you didn't. The merger theory means that sometimes you have a bracha that comes from elsewhere, and it now overlaps with a different set of brachos, but once it overlaps with a different set of brachos, we integrate it into that set of brachos and we merge them together. Like, for example, Borei Pri HaGafen, classically, forget about Avdolah for a minute, forget about Kiddush, how would you define Borei Pri HaGafen? Tzibirchas HaNedim, which means that if I don't drink the wine, then it's a bracha of Avdolah. And yet in Kiddush, and this is how we paskin l'alocha, you could be yotzei on that bracha even without drinking. So for example, I can recite Kiddush and make a Borei Pri HaGafen and you drink the wine. That would never apply to a Birchas HaNenim.
Right.
So the answer is that the merger theory tells me that I take this Pirchas Hadnenim of Bor Pri HaGofen, I integrate it into a Seder called Kiddush, and now it takes on the same status as Kiddush. It becomes a Birchas HaKiddush. Here too, in Havdalah, according to the Sefer HaMichtav, the bracha on Eish, even though it's an independent Shevach, now becomes integrated into the Shevach of Havdalah, and therefore, if insofar as there's a Tashlumen up till Tuesday for the Birchas Havdalah, there's also likewise a Kiyum Tashlumen on Birchas HaEish, because Birchas HaEish now merges into the fabric of Havdalah, becomes one entity, what we call in Hebrew Chativa Achat. That's according to Sefer HaMichtav. The only question is how the Michtav is going to read the Gemara. The question is how to fit his sheet in the Gemara, because the Gemara says Avaloh Alar. I mean, how does he interpret those words Avaloh Alar?
Is according to the Shita only integrated or still also on itself? Is it both or is it only integrated?
Mein Afkabina, I'm not following you. Let's say
it only comes.
Oh, let's say for example, let's say Motzei Shabbos, he omitted the bracha on the Eish.
Yeah.
So he was Yotzei his mitzvah of Havdalah. Can he still recite the bracha on Eish up till Tuesday, according to Sefer HaMichtav, as a separate kiyum? Not as part and parcel of Havdalah, because he already fulfilled his mitzvah of Havdalah. According to the way we're saying it, that's a merger theory.
That it can only exist.
It can only exist within the context of that merger. I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, now Rabosai, we're ready to turn to Daf Kuvav Amigbetis. Amar Avruna, Amar Ra. This is a doozy of a sugya. Okay. Hanotel Yadav Lo Yekadosh. Now, I hope there are no Yekis here in the audience, because this is exactly what the Yekis do. Right? This is what they do every Friday night. Whereas Rav Bruna, in the name of Rav, and the names here are shtickle important here, because the question is, what did Rav say, or what did he do, and had Rav Bruna get this tradition in the name of Rav? He made the claim that you completely messed up here, because you washed your hands, and the Rashbam is that you made a bracha al netilas yadayim. Now you forfeit the mitzvah of kiddush, and the Rashbam explains why. And the Rashbam says, "Natal yadav lo yekadesh." Why? Okay. So we have to fast forward, because otherwise, if we don't skip the first part of the Rashbam, he's not going to really answer our question. So what's going to happen is we're going to skip to the second part of the Rashbam and then ask the question which the Rashbam answers in the first half of his Rashbam. So we're now looking on line 4 in the Rashbam. And he says, "Aval hu atzmo lo yekadesh im not al yadav." And the reason for that is, and again you have to fast forward one line, he says, "The kiddush mafsik," this is what I would underline if you're allowed to underline in your Gemaras, yeah, "the kiddush mafsik bein netila la'achila v'havi kehesek hadas."
The only issue is when to say it, not that you can't.
In other words, you remember we spoke about merger before? So I need a yes or no question to the following, a yes or no answer to the following question. Is the Tilas Yadayim merged with Kiddush? And what's the answer? No, it's not. No merger. Whereas before we suggested, according to one sheet of Rishonim, that the Bracha Ner is integrated, is merged with the Bracha of Havdalah, the Seder Havdalah. The Tilas Yadayim stands on its own. The Tilas Yadayim is related to Seuda. And it's Matir, the Abotzi Lechem in Aretz, to kick off the Suda. It has nothing to do with Kiddush. And therefore it becomes what's called a Hesek Hadas. We call it in our language a Hefsek. Now you've created a Hefsek. Why? Because your Kiddush is not related to the Tilas Yadayim. Now there's a gigantic machlokas how to interpret this Rashbam. Some say what the Rashbam really has in mind is that the The one second, let me just get this straight, Rav Aaron, and then you'll just, because I'm going to lose the cheshbon. There's a mamish, a mathematical calculation. Some interpret the Rashbam as saying that if you would go ahead and recite Kiddush, then you would forfeit and invalidate the brach of al netilas yadayim, and therefore we're not going to allow you to recite Kiddush. Again, what does that mean? That's going to be the second question that the Rashbam addresses in the first half of his presentation. We'll get to that in just a second. This pshat is the simple pshat in the Rashbam. The Rashbam is saying, how can we allow you to go ahead and recite Kiddush, since Kiddush will be a Hesek Hadas? Then when you recite Hamotzi, you have no connection between your Netilas Yadayim and Hamotzi. And a Netilas Yadayim that doesn't culminate in Hamotzi Lech Min Aretz is a Brachal of Atola. So we're going to, so to speak, we're in a choice situation. What's the lesser of two evils? Should we allow him to recite Kiddush and let him recite Al Netilas Yadayim and the Brachal of Netilas Yadayim a second time around? And the first time around was a brachal of Atol, but at least he gains the kiyum of Kiddush. Or shall we just forfeit Kiddush in order to maintain and salvage the validity of the Al Netilas Yadayim? So if you go with this pshat in the Rashbam, the reason why we're going to tip the scale in favor of leaving out Kiddush is addressed by the Rashbam in the Reisha, in which he says you're not forfeiting Kiddush because you have a way out. You can have your cake and eat it too. You could, on the one hand, maintain the validity of the bracha al Netilas Yadayim, and at the same time you can be mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush. How so? I mean, after all, we're saying now that Kiddush is a hefsek, and therefore you invalidate the al Netilas Yadayim. It's no longer connected to the Motzi Lech Min Aretz because there was a wedger in between that interrupted with Kiddush. The answer is, you're going to listen to what? To somebody else's Kiddush. And that's called Shomea Ka'om. So let's read now the first part of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Ella Acher Yekadesh.
After he said Amosi.
No.
No.
Again, we're trying to solve the problem of Kiddush, which is a recitation that, insofar it's not related to the Netilas Yadayim and Amosi, becomes a hefsek. So what are we going to do? Don't recite Kiddush. Hu atzmo lo yikadesh, acher yikadesh. You listen to his kiddush, and that's not called a hefsek. Rabbi said there's an unbelievable chiddush here in the Rashbam, and this is a machlok between Rashi and Tosfos in the Sechta Sukkah elsewhere in Shas.
It's not for kedusha.
Correct, kedusha is shomer kaoner, kaoner mamish, or yoyotzi dechovos with his aniyah, but not with your aniyah. It's keoner, but it's not really an oner. Then Afkamina is whether it's a hefsek or not. So if I listen to your Kiddush, is that A, as if I had recited Kiddush, and you solved nothing, you didn't resolve your problem, Kiyuzeh. Or B, I'm yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush vicariously through your Aniya, your Kriya, but not through my Kriya, therefore there's no hefsek. And that's how I can salvage the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Let's read it in the Rashbam.
Are we okay also just making Kiddush after you make a motzi, or is that... That just seems like a simple way to deal with this as well.
Ah, the premise here is, Rabbi, that he's going to recite a Bor Priya Gofen, I mean Kiddush. Now you're asking a different question, which is, that's the sugi that we're about to embark upon. Well, what are you nervous about? So what if he washed down the Netilas Yadayim? Let him recite Kiddush on Amotzi, on Lechem. Isn't there an option to recite Kiddush on Pas?
And how about just the simple, let him make Amotzi, and then let him make Kiddush. In other words, I'm not talking about trying.
Yeah, no, Hamotzi is part of Kiddush, replacing the Bor Priya Gofen.
No, I don't want to even get that.
No.
That's too complicated.
Okay.
That's too complicated. I just want to go simple here. You made a mistake, you washed first.
Right.
And so make Hamotzi, and now make Kiddush, and everything, life is good.
Oh, no, Kiddush has to come before that.
Why?
Because Ein Kiddush El B'Mokom Suda.
You're suding, you're doing.
In fact, we're gonna see
here. Means that it has to proceed.
Let me just show you something unbelievable. Take a look for a second at the name at the statement of Shmuel. Again, we're really jumping ahead of ourselves. Three lines before the end of the Amud, Shmuel is quoted as saying, "Tom Ein Mekadesh." that if he tasted anything...
That's what I'm asking. But why does that invalidate? You're sitting at the meal for the next 3 hours.
Well, wait a second. When we get to Shmuel, we'll try to figure out why, but I'm just saying, are you willing for the time being to operate with Shmuel just to illustrate the point that there's no way that we can allow you to eat before Kiddush? That's a no-no. In fact, if you eat before Kiddush, according to Shmuel at least, I don't know if we paskin like Shmuel, you forfeit the mitzvah of Kiddush completely. When I say completely, I mean to say that he can't even listen to someone else reciting Kiddush. Here we're dealing with the following assumptions. Number one, he cannot make Hamotzi now because he hasn't recited Kiddush. If he goes and he recites Kiddush, he's going to create a hefsek between the Al-Natil Siddayim that came before the Kiddush and Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz after the Kiddush. Assumption number three is that he doesn't have the possibility of dropping the ball, so to speak, on Yayin and instead making Kiddush on Pas, which the Gemara is about to raise that possibility in a moment. So let's just read the Rashbam inside, because you know the main thing is to see it in the words. He says, "Ela acher yikadish v'hu yetze v'hu yotza yidei chovasa b'shmiya u'b'shtiya." That's an hour's discussion unto itself why he adds the word b'shtiya. But let's leave out the word b'shtiya because that'll complicate matters. So he's going to be yotze yidei chovasa b'shtiya. Oh. No, but ask yourself the following question. All right, he's Yotze B'Yidei Chovoso B'Shmiya, but why isn't that Shmiya Ka'ona, which makes it into a Hefzeh? The Einkan Hesech Hadas Me'acher Shehu Atzmo Eino Mevarech. And that's a gigantic machlokus between Rashi and Tos. Now, in the back of the Masifta, he has something called the Yalkut Bi'urim. The Masifta is very famous for that. And there, he quotes the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Let me just see if I can get the right line here because the print is very extensive and very small. He says, oh, here it is. He says that the Mordechai holds that even by listening to someone else's Kiddush, Tia Berchoso Brachel of Atola. Just 1 second. Where does he quote? Just 1 second. I'm still. Oh, about 2 hours ago, I had it. Now. All right. You'll have to trust me on this, and it'll pop up a little bit later. Oh, here it is. It's not in the Yalkut Biurim, it's in the footnotes on the page. He says the following. Yesh machlokes besukah daf lamed chesam beis. Bein Rashi, he tells you which divra maskel, the Tosfos, im kishu shomea nechshav kimafsik ukehefsik. So at this point he doesn't tell you who holds what. If I'm not mistaken, Rashi and the Rashbam both hold that Shomea is not is only Ke'onim, but it's not Onim Mamish, and if it's not a Hefsek, and Tosis disagrees. And Nafkamina is whether you stop to hear Kedusha, what Rabbi mentioned before, if you're in the middle of your Shtilah Shmon Esrei. Because you want to Yotze Kedusha, but on the other hand, you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei.
Asking that you do.
So I didn't look up the halacha, but that's Rashi and the Rashbam are of the opinion that Shomea is ke'onah, but it's not onemah. Rabbi Adler has a whole article on this in his book on Lumbus. Whatever you see in the Gemara in Shas Kir, how do you interpret that? Kir means it's equal to, or Kir means it's similar to, but not equal to. The Chof HaDimyon in halacha is... like there's a halacha called Paris Ha'omdim Litolish Kitlushim Dami. So what is Kitlushim Dami? Does it have a din of metaltolin, or it's just not karkan? So that's one interpretation of the Rashbam. Now he has another interpretation of the Rashbam. And according to the Ritva, apparently, since he was notel yodov la'achila, and he made the bracha al netilas yadayim, and now he's not eating, he's only listening to Kiddush. He says he already had das to to begin his suda. So again, what was his mistake? Why didn't he wash his hands? Again, we're not talking about the Yeki Minig yet, but for us guys who usually make Kiddush on Yayin, and we don't wash before Kiddush, if he went ahead and he washed, he's mistaken, thinking, I'm going to start my Suda. All of a sudden, he bangs his head up, bangs his hand on his head, and he says to himself, wait a minute, I didn't make Kiddush yet. So according to the Ritva's Pshat in the Rashbam's Hefsek here is going to undermine the Kiddush. Not the way we explained it, it's going to undermine the Al-Natilus Yadayim. So the Kiddush is not such a problem for Al-Natilus Yadayim according to the Ritva's Pshat, but it's a problem for the Kiddush itself. Did I say that right? Yeah. That the Kiddush itself is a problem for Kiddush. Why?
It's related to the meal.
Because he has disconnected the Kiddush from the meal. Why? Because he already decided in his mind that he's beginning his meal before Kiddush. And that messes up Kiddush.
So it's a Kavanah thing?
Oh, so it means that according to the Ritva, Netilus Yadayim is also a merger, but not a merger to Kiddush, but a merger to Seuda. In other words, Yesh L'Estaf. When does a Suda begin? Intuitively, my knee-jerk reaction would have been that the Suda begins when he starts eating. Nay, the Ritva says that his Suda begins without the Tilos Yadayim. And that's a no-no, because he hasn't recited Kiddush yet. So again, the discussion about Kavana, but you know, that's secondary. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's not inherent in this Chiddush of the Ritva. What's inherent and what's essential to the Chiddush of the Ritva is that once he began his Suda, Al Pi Din, forget about Kavana here, then he messes up on Kiddush. Now the question becomes, how does he solve that? So the Ritva writes, I'll just read to you the line in the Ritva, he says, right, that birech al netilas yadayim was suda. Right, so now nimlach, he changes his mind and he wants to recite kiddush. Is kevan shebishosh and notal yadav hayadaito lechol? Again, the words sound like he's putting all the emphasis on the kavana, but I don't know if that's so. Is therefore ein netilas yadayim brachol of atola. Because he says that as long as he hasn't recited Kiddush, then when he eats the Amotzi, his Netilas Yadayim is valid, and it's not a Brach Levatola, but he has a problem with Kiddush. So in order to appreciate this problem of Kiddush, let's read a little bit weiter in the Gemara. I just want to tell you that this Rashbam goes on and on. I mean, we only covered part of the Rashbam. I wanted to emphasize another part of this Rashbam. Again, I don't know if you underline, but right before the lines get wide, it says V'haka mashmalan dinetila shalifnei kiddush eina olalo, meaning that if the pashtus in the Rashbam is that if he would go ahead and recite Kiddush himself, not by listening to others, then the Netilah is not olal.
He's making you wash again.
Exactly. So it's not the Ritva. The Ritva is saying the Netilah will remain a valid Netilah even if he recites Kiddush. His Kiddush is not a Kiddush because he already began his Suda, and there's no such thing as Kiddush once you begin your Suda. The Rashbam, I don't think, the language of the Rashbam would not tolerate the Ritva's pshat. The Ritva could not fit into the Rashbam. The Ritva could say what he wants to say. He doesn't have to fit into the Rashbam. But from the fact that the Rashbam says that netila ain't a olalo, means clearly that the Rashbam thinks that by reciting Kiddush he's forfeiting the netila, and that's what we want to avoid. And therefore, you listen to Kiddush al yaday acher.
It's part of the issue here, also the. If you consider Kiddush Hesek Hadas.
Well, that's really what the Rashbam says, that Kiddush becomes Hesek Hadas.
No, I'm saying that it isn't a Hesek Hadas, In other words, Kiddush is part of this. Not only is it part of the Suda, you can't have the Suda without it. So it's not a hefsek. In other words, that's one of the halachot of the speaking afternoon Tehillas Yadayim. If something that relates to the Suda, right? You can say, "Can you get me the salt?" For you're allowed to say that afternoon Tehillas Yadayim. So if you can say, "Get me the salt," then you can also say Kiddush, which is essential to the Suda. Now, I'm just saying, I wonder if they're also addressing this issue or touching.
So that's, I think, the next Gemara that we're going to do now. But that's a very important point that you're making. Okay. Fine. Now it says the following. Now, if you have an aleph over there on the top line in parentheses, so that's the Bach. The Bach adds the word v'chen. Our text doesn't have a chen. So let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amaluhu Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa. Now this is a little bit of an agadita, so to speak. Not really, but he says, what's going on with us? You know, he's like woeing, you know, he's lamenting the fact that Akati lo noch nafshi de Rav. Rav is still alive, and we still don't understand what Rav is talking about. Shachchininu, we forgot Lishmaitite, the sugya that he taught us. And if we would only remember what we forgot, meaning what Rav actually taught us, it would change the entire picture here about Anotel Yodav Lo Yikadesh, which is Rav Bruna in the name of Rav. So Rav Yitzchak says, what did we learn from Rav? So he says the following, that Zimnin, on certain occasions, Rav was in the mood to eat his meal immediately. He was famished. He didn't have time to recite Kiddush, then wash, you know, the extra half a minute it would take him. And therefore, Chaviv Alei Rifta, he wanted to make Kiddush on pas. Completely sideswiping the need for yayin. Now, if you recall, we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, that with regard to yayin, there's an additional embellishment because ein shira el al yayin. So when you're singing God's praises, you want to do so over a cup of wine. And that's a general halacha in what we call sidur bracha al hakos. That whenever we have a series of brachos, all of which come to praise Hashem, we organize those brachos over a kos shel yayin, which is derived from Beis HaMikdash and Nisuk HaYayin. But you know what? Rav's in the mood for pas. He doesn't have time for yayin. So that's called Chaviva Alei Rifta, Umakadisha Rifta. Zimnin, on other occasions, the Chaviva Alei Chamra, Mekadisha Chamra. If he's got plenty of time and he's in the mood for wine, he'll make Kiddush on wine. So what does this do for us? Well, first of all, it tells us that there's a possibility of making Kiddush al pas.
But he omits wine completely?
And omits wine completely.
The wine comes for more reasons. How can he do that? How can he completely omit
wine? I'll tell you why, because there's something called chavivus, and that also enhances and embellishes the kiyum of shevach. Like, for example, if I have two fruits in front of me, both of which have the same bracha, neither of which, let's say, a perish and ishtabchu ben Eretz Yisrael, I will choose the one that's more chaviva, and that enhances my kiyum shevach. So basically, Rav is balancing. On one side of the scale, he's got the kiyum of shevach al yayin, ein shir el al yayin. On the other side, he has the chavivus, that a bracha should be chal on something that's chavivli. And Rav would change his mind from one Friday night to the next Friday night.
But finally, the issue of chaviv.
What was chaviv?
Right? Chaviv over it trumps the.
No, chaviv will always trump shir al yayin, but why should you have such a situation? The answer is because of the chavivus. If it on one particular Friday night he had the chavivus of pas, then he knew clearly that he would make Kiddush al pas. another Friday night. He didn't have that need, that urgent need to recite Kiddush Alapas and eat his pas immediately after Kiddush. So therefore, he would prefer Yayin. So again, if all things are equal, then there's no reason to forfeit that extra key of Al Yayin. But if there's a Chavivus on pas, because on that particular Friday night, he was pressed to eat his meal immediately, he didn't have time to dilly-dally, then Chavivus trumps the Kiyum of Shevach Al Yayin, Shir Al Yayin. But, well, okay, so now let's go back to square one. According to the Ritva that we explained before, that Netilas Yadayim is the beginning of a Suda, then what was his original intention, Rav, when he was Notil Yadav? Are you with me? What does that demonstrate to you? If you're the spectator, and you see that Rav, before he recited Kiddush, he washed his hands to Tilsi Dayim, what conclusion do you derive from that? If that's the beginning of the Suda, that he wants to what? To eat his Suda immediately. So he's going to recite Kiddush over Pas. If that be the case, then you're misquoting Rav, because you told me that Natal Yadav, he forfeits the mitzvah of Kiddush, or at least as the Rashbam explains in Kiddush Biatzmo. The answer is that's not so, because now that we see the broader picture about Rav, you're not giving us the full picture. You're telling me no, Netil Sidayim is a problem. It may be a problem, but it's not necessarily a problem, because now Rav has clearly indicated the option of reciting Kiddush over Pas and completely sideswiping Yayin, omitting Yayin completely. If that be the case, then he can make Kiddush himself, and he ends his Kiddush by eating his pas. So the Seder HaBrachos will be Al Netilas Yadayim, Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and Mekadesh HaShabbos. Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then he eats the pas. And I would go a step further. I would tell you the following. Again, you can ask me in Shulchan Aruch. I didn't get a chance to look that up. You know, I'm focused on getting through the Gemara. But if you would ask me to write the Shulchan Aruch, I would write it the following. That we, who are not Yekis, can accept the Yeki Minog if it's Chaviva Le'Rifta. In other words, if let's say we decide, for whatever reason, that we, you know, let's say we don't have Yayin, or we're very hungry, we want to start this, or maybe to orchestrate matters, if you have a large group, maybe it's a lot easier to recite Kiddush Al Pas, whatever the circumstances might be, then Adarava, what's the first thing we're going to do? The Netilas Yadayim. And then immediately afterwards, recite Kiddush over Pas. Now, if it was Zimnin, the Chavivale Yena, then we go back to square one. Because then we have a problem, because the Netilas Yadayim is the kickoff of the Suda, and it has to be attached to Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Comes along the Rashbam with a Gevaldige Chiddush, and he says the following. The very fact that Rav would be, on certain occasions, called Chaviva Le'Rifta, would be Notel Yadav, and then recite Kiddush, then he ate the Pas, that proves that the Kiddush was not a Hefsek between the Netilas Yadayim and Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz and the Achilas HaPas. And if Kiddush is not a Hefsek in the case of Chaviva Le'Rifta, then Kiddush is not a Hefsek in the case of Chaviva Le'Chamra. Rabosai, are you following me? I presented the sugya in a developmental state, two stages. Stage number one, I said that, you know, you, Rav Bruna, didn't give me the whole picture. This wasn't accurate. It's not so that reciting Al Netilas Yadayim ipso facto is a hefsek, and therefore you have to forfeit Kiddush, etc., etc. Because if Chaviva Le'Rifta, then Netilas Yadayim is indeed the kickoff of Kiddush. Nay. The second developmental stage is even further than that. Even if it's Chaviva Le'Chamra, then Netilas Yadayim is not a hefsek. Why? Because from the case of Pas, I prove to you that Kiddush is not a hefsek. Meaning, how could it be that after he recited Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, Rav, he went ahead and recited the Gantz Alanga Kiddush, and then he ate the pas? How could it be? Because now, it should be that Kiddush itself is a hefsek between the brachas of the Tilsi Daim and Amotzi and the Achilas HaPas. The answer is Kiddush is not a hefsek. And now we come back to what Rav Aaron was pushing before. His agenda is correct. That Kiddush is never a hefsek. Why is Kiddush not a hefsek? Because Kiddush is the kickoff of the Suda. And therefore, it's not something extraneous. And that's a pell of a Kiddush when you think about it, because the whole substance or the content of the theme, I should say, of Kiddush is God, you created the universe, and God, you know, you sanctified the Jewish people, and you gave us Shabbos, blah, blah, blah. What does that have to do? But the answer is, as we've said many times, that Kiddush itself changes the nature of the Suda. It transforms the Suda into a Suda Shabbos. And if on Friday night I'm obligated to Suda Shabbos, not just the regular Suda, so much so that we had a sugya earlier about Rav Yossi, who says that, or Rav Yehuda, I should say, Mafsikin l'Shabbos, he started his Suda on Friday. And now it's Chashecha, he has to stop his Suda, recite Pirkei Avos, and then recite Kiddush in order to kick off a Suda Shabbos. Is therefore Kiddush is not a hefsek. That's one interpretation of the sugya. But then we have this long Tosfos, Divrei Hamas Til Mekadesh, which would probably take us a month to go through, but I'm just going to focus on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that there was never a Havamina in the Gemara. Never, ever a Havamina that Kiddush should be a Hefsek. What was Rav Bruna telling us in the name of Rav? That not al yodav lo yikadosh mipnei shalarav ein tzarch shiyia Kiddush b'makom sukkah. The Havamina here in the Gemara was that according to Rav Bruna, Rav rejects the halach of Kiddush b'makom sukkah, which means that Kiddush has nothing to do with sukkah.
So when, where would you do Kiddush?
You recite Kiddush whenever you like. You know, just get around to it. It's sometime before daybreak the next morning, and then after that you have Tashlumin until Motzei Shabbos, but it's not b'makom sukkah. And if it's not b'makom sukkah, you can invite me for Kiddush to your house, and I'm going to go eat my house, or vice versa. Because I'm going to want to eat my house because I'm not vegetarian. But okay, that's different.
I made chicken this week, last week, for the Shabbos, the first time ever.
Wow, how'd it come out?
They said it was good. Most of them said it was good. One said, actually, it was a little dry.
Yeah, that's the thing about Kiddush, about chicken, it gets dry. I had an interesting experience because I met a rabbi on the other side of the world who gives the heksher for all the food and pretty much all of Asia. And when we got to El Al, they gave us a special kosher meal and had his heksher on it. So it was very good that I knew him. I felt, oh, I know the Rav Amashi, he's a reliable guy. But the chicken turned out to be quite dry. But what happened was... Anyway, welcome to El Al. What's it?
Probably been sitting for a month.
Right, I did. No, the food actually was quite good. And it was so interesting because you're in a country which is pure treif. Everything's treif there, including the scorpions they eat. I met one Israeli girl, Nebuch, she's not from, but she admitted to me that scorpions she can't eat. She says they eat it like bamba, she tells me, but she couldn't get it. Anyway, so so it was very nice that we got some of the food from Thailand. You know, it was kosher food from Thailand. Kaviyachal. I mean, obviously certain things you can't eat. You can't be mashu pork. They love pork over there. It's famous to trade for Medina. And the trouble is they don't know anything about kitchens, it seems, in the East. Everything is made outside in front of the house. So you can't walk the streets. Now, one of the reasons we went to Thailand is to visit my nephew and niece. And he told me, as we're walking to shul Friday night, that he doesn't even smell it. I said to him, Ori, how can you tell me you don't smell it? It's awful. I said, it's repulsive. Didn't bother him at all. You get used to it after a while. Anyway, so he says the following, Rabbeinu Tam. Shalarav ain't sokshiei a kiddush b'makom su. The Rav rejected the requirement of kiddush b'makom su. L'chein, and therefore, Yesh chashash, we're afraid that liachar akiddush yaflig lisasek b'dover acher. He'll get distracted because the kiddush is not part of the suda. Again, all this has to be defined conceptually, but he's saying on a psychological level that since kiddush is not related to the suda, you know, once he recites the kiddush, it's going to be a hefsek. Is therefore lo yikadesh. Again, according to Rav Eitam, kiddush is never a hefsek, but there's a havamina that after kiddush he'll be mafsek, because he never forces himself to eat right after kiddush, so he gets distracted with other things. That's a hefsek. L'fichach lo yikadesh al yishma me'acher sha'oz ein chashash kol kach shemayafl. Very, very difficult to approach. If you take a look in Rabbeinu Elchanan, which is at the end of Tosis Divi Amaskal Hanotel, he says, Nata lo yikadesh mishum de mechse kinotel yodov leperos arei zemigase harua. This is a whole nother perspective on this sugya. We've been analyzing this sugya from the perspective of hefsek, that you're going to undermine the validity of your Netilas Yadayim bracha. But Rabbi Elchanan is on a whole different pathway, that he shouldn't wash his hands for Yayin, because that's called Notel Yodov Leperos. And Notel Yodov Leperos Hareze Migase Haruach, which is a sugya in Masechta Chulin on Daf Kuvav. Then we have, last but not least, the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is, why is Natal Yodav lo Yikadesh? Kevin she Natal Yodav gila daito shechaviv olav hapas. Means Gemara knew that there are two options for Kiddush. Once he recites Natil Yadayim, he has decided for himself, and he sets himself into stone, that chavivus is pas. V'im Yikadesh achakach la Yayin, the whole thing is about chavivus. So as I indicated to you, this is a complicated sugi with many different interpretations. Let's go vayta. Omar Rav Huna.
We're 9:30.
Oh, it's already time for Myriv?
It's after.
Wow, how did that happen? Open the door, please. Okay, so I'm just going to make a note of where we got up to.